You know, don't have to tell you the world's in a mess. Looks like politically it's about to explode every kind of way. And something big is going to happen, folks. It can't go on like this right on and on. And the evil and the hatred and the corruption and the falseness and all that business is everywhere. But in the midst of that, we still have the opportunity to serve the Lord. I was thinking about these special days we're having Sunday school-wise. Gives us an excuse to do what we ought to be doing anyhow, which is reaching people, inviting people, and getting them on the sound of the gospel. And I do think some big things are going to happen soon. And here's what's going to happen if we're not careful. We're going to say, oh, I wish I'd have done this and wish I'd have done that. Didn't know time was running out quite so fast. That's the way I fear even God's people are going to be seeing things. You know, here's the sad part. And liberal is too good a name for them. But the evil side, we'll call them the liberals, especially in America. See, they have no answer in God, but they do have, in a sense, a compassion to reach the masses. Now, they think the answer is socialism. They think the answer is to give everybody a paycheck and look after their every need and tell them every step to take. I mean, man's always had this thing about wanting to rule others. You ever notice that? So actually their motive, in a sense, is not all that bad. They want to just collect everybody into one big pile and meet all their needs. Doesn't work that way. Amen. I said something to a young person not too long ago. I said, socialism has never worked anywhere on planet Earth. Where their quick little report, and this is what they're taught to say now in the colleges, it's never been tried right. Well, how many times before you get it right? How many more masses have got to be killed? How many more people have got to be starved? How many more people have got to give up their freedom for you to try one more time for something that is not going to work, was never supposed to work? And you know, God has a plan. If we'd go to his plan, it would work. It would work. I like to hear Brother Roloff on the radio every now and then. And he'll break it right down to where the tire meets the road. This is the basics, he said. I like what he said today. Did anybody hear him this morning? He said something, and he said, you'll say I'm crazy. And he said, you're right, but I'm the happiest crazy man you'll ever meet. Now, I like that. I know what he's talking about. I really do. We have the answer. The world wants an answer, but they don't want it to be God's answer. They want it to be theirs. I'll not be covering the verse tonight because it's over in chapter 14 here in Proverbs, but Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what the world's following, their way. And it ultimately takes them to the way of death. In the meantime, you say, what can I do about it? Well, we can't do a whole lot when it comes necessarily to politically or some of the other things, but we can sure do the main thing, and that's reach souls. Let's get the gospel out. That's still the main thing above everything else. That is still the main thing. And if we're going to do that, we have to be prepared to do it. Yeah, we need to know where we're at prophetically. We need to know what's going on in the world, but let's not let it sidetrack us from the main thing, which is still getting the good news of Jesus to those that are lost. You know, I had some friends. They've been dead a while now, and they were members here long years ago. And I remember something they said. They had been in a pretty good church at one time up north, and it had finally, I think, kind of folded down, and they'd come on down here, moved on down here. And they said something to me. They said, you know what, in your church, people ought not take it for granted to have a place to serve the Lord like y'all have. Said, we actually ran out, as it were, ran out of a place to go and assemble with God's people and serve God. And we had taken it for granted in the early years till it disappeared. And we could have that happen to us. Let's not take it for granted. I was talking to a preacher friend this morning. Yes, it was this morning. And he had visited with us not too long ago. And he said something that I take as a compliment for us, but also a little bit of a warning. He said, you know, said, I preach in a number of churches across the land. And he said, how things are changing, not for the best, going the wrong way. And he said, when I was in your church not long ago, he said, I noticed the best thing I noticed was your atmosphere has not changed. And I kind of looked at him, I guess, with a question mark. And he said, from the early years when you'd go in your church, before the service started, he said, you'd sense an atmosphere. He said, the atmosphere you sensed was, this is a good place to get saved. This is a good place to reach people. And he said, after all the years, I visited not too long ago, and he said, there it was again. It's the time I got in the building good before the church service started. He said, I don't know if it's, he was probably said the music had something to do with it. It was evangelistic. It was like this place is alive and something good is going to happen here. And he just had, he said, that the atmosphere. I want to say we don't ever want to lose that atmosphere. I commend our musicians that play like they do. Don't take those folks for granted. They do a great job, and God's Holy Spirit uses that. Have you noticed this? I'll get to something in a minute, but I want to say a couple of things. Have you noticed, and I have noticed this, I have noticed folks come in our service way before they ever heard me preach. And maybe on that particular day, I was kind of passive, kind of dead, whatever. Not skinning too many politicians or something. But anyway, and really didn't spell out anything in particular that day. And then find out later those same people were critical because they picked up on just a feeling. I didn't get up and say we're conservative, but they picked up on it. And I want to tell you, they were in the wrong place for their lack of belief. And it was challenging to them and scary to them. But you know, I think when they ought to be in awe about going into the house of God. There ought to be a reverential fear, awe that says, this is real in here. This is not a show. This is genuine. And we want to keep that atmosphere, don't we? I think we do. And I praise God we still have it. I thought about it today after I was talking with a man. I said, he would know. And I'm glad he could say it's still the same. It's still the same. We want to keep it that way. The way we do that is still have a hunger for souls, caring about where they spend eternity, and knowing that we have the answer. Socialism is not the answer. All this big business that you're hearing, and that's not the answer at all. In fact, it's warring against God's what it is. It's really warring against God. And the answer is the Lord. It's not some social program at all. And we have the answer, so let's not be shy about sharing it and telling others. We kind of left off in Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to go back there. And, it's so rich. Proverbs is so very rich and so deep. And it speaks to us where we live. If you want to get your life straightened out, just start obeying God. One of the best places to obey God, of course, the whole Bible, but Proverbs will speak to your soul. It'll get down in the deeper part, and it'll give you wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. And somebody said, well, what is wisdom? We live in a day and time of knowledge. I was listening to a thing this morning that a preacher sent. I guess y'all call it apps or whatever you call it on your phones. But anyway, there's a spill of stuff. And it was a lot of information having to do with the mark of the beast. And that stuff is, listen, the technology is here. It is being used. And what he was basically sharing, proof that they can now mark and identify everybody in the world. And then do it quickly. Isn't it interesting that in Revelation 13, that the issue there is an identifying mark. Identification is the thing they're after today. Total identification today. And we can kind of joke about it a little bit, but they have discovered now that they can put the chip and all kind of chips, but they put it into the skin with a piercing, more or less what we'd call a needle. And it's just small enough, and yet they can put it in there. The body itself will recharge it. It's like a little battery in it that the body's own heat keeps charged. Oh, it's fabulous what they're talking and doing. Not only theory, they're doing it. They're doing it in places, even places in America. A lot of people already in America are in part of this program that they're initiating. Now, isn't it interesting that the Bible, all the way back, Revelation 13, almost 2,000 years ago, talked about what a big deal it would be to mark everybody. And if you look up the mark, it's talking about the same thing that you would do with a needle point. Actually, I don't know, I can't remember much on the Greek. It's a stigma. It sticks. It's like a needle sticking in. Also, so up to date in that one portion in the Bible that they're just now fulfilling all that. And we're living in that time. That's part of the socialistic one world kingdom plan. And part of our big fight, don't kid yourself, it's a fight over accepting world government or not. That's really what it is. Well, if you and I just understand we got the Word of God, and God tells us, God says, let me show you how to live a good life, a wise life. Somebody says, well, what is wisdom? Bible says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What is wisdom? Well, we got gadgets and all kind of machinery and all. We're in the information age. It's bought and sold. You know that. All that information, data, facts. But you know what? Wisdom rises above that. God's wisdom tells you how to use the knowledge. See, they're abusing it. They're not using it right. Using it for the devil's side of things. But ask God for wisdom to use what you do know. Most of us, let's face it, most of us know more that's right than we do that's right. That's human nature. I've had somebody say, well, I'm doing the best I can. I say, are you really? No, none of us are. We all know a little better than we do. And that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out. And you just get right on specifics and go down the list. You know to do this and you're not doing it. That's called sins of omission, for sure. So we're all guilty of some of that. But wisdom, God will give to direct your steps, your life, to direct the Christian life especially. And I ask you to turn here in Proverbs chapter 1. And pick it up with me in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. Wisdom is personified here, though, like it was a person in the female gender. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, and in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorn, and fools hate knowledge. Now, he's saying wisdom is found everywhere, but it's rejected also. It's out there. You know, we all, as soul winners, like to use Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But do you understand that's taken from a passage back in Deuteronomy? Basically, that's the foundation of it, which tells you, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You don't have to go up to heaven to get it. You don't have to dig to the heart of the earth. It's nigh thee. It's like wisdom. It's there. And the truth is, folks do know more about being saved than they want you to know, that they know. And even the heathen have a witness from God in the act of creation, of course. But anyway, he says the wisdom is out there. So he says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Now, when God says, here's a roadblock, stop, I reprove you, go the other way, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, God is saying, I'm reaching out to you. I'm calling to you. And then look in verse 24. And every time I read these verses, verse 24 right on down, all through verse 27 especially, 24 through 27, I think of a little story. Let's read them first, and I'll tell you the story. He says, turn ye at my reproof, verse 23. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolations and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I'm going to stop there to tell you this. Olden days, a good tent revival was going on. People were getting saved. It was a country setting, and some of you know, you've been in those meetings. I've been in a few myself. Something special about them when the Holy Spirit gets working. I remember the country church I pastored before I came here. We had a revival meeting where if somebody got on the parking lot, truthfully, they just seemed to fall under conviction of the Holy Spirit and couldn't leave until they got saved. It was something that had been bathed in prayer for so long. It was very real. And you've heard me tell the story. Up there in Sumter County, we had 41 saved in a little country church that to have 40 on Sunday was something else. And we had 41 adults saved and baptized. And it was one of those deals where people just, something drew them and they came and God's Spirit got a hold of it. It was something I would love to see every week if we could, but it was special. So they were having a meeting like that in a country setting, and God was saving folks. There was a family, a Christian family, and they had some kids on up, teenagers. And some of them came to the meeting, was getting saved, but there's one girl. She was an older teenager, and she had started tasting the world a little bit, and she just resented that family was pulling on her so hard, and friends were getting saved, and all of that, and praying for her, and she just rebelled against it. She went a time or two to the meeting, and the mother asked the preacher to talk to her. And he tried to, and she was very unkind to him, really mean to him. And so she told him she would not be back. But the next night, the meeting was still going, and the family was there. And the family came to the preacher and said, all of a sudden, whatever her name, we'll call her Susie. Susie fell sick last night after you left, and she's violently sick, and we don't know what's going on. And would you come by and pray for her, even though she was not kind to you last night? Would you come back by? And so he said, sure. So his story was this. He said, by the time I got to the house after the meeting was over, he said she was basically dying. And he said, I went into the bed and again pled with her about receiving Christ and getting saved. And he said, as God is my witness, she started quoting out of Proverbs chapter 1, these verses that I just read. She quoted them accurately. That's not John 3:16. That's not the place you normally expect folks to have memorized. He said, and he read this portion, starting in verse 24 and going on down to about the end of the chapter. He said she quoted it. And he said, I especially remember how she shuddered when she came to the verse where it says, speaking of God, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. He said it was the saddest, scariest thing I've ever seen since she died. But before she died, she quoted these verses. She had that now God was laughing at her. She had mocked him, now he was mocking her. And he said, one of the saddest, scariest things I ever seen, but he said, I want to tell you. He said, the news went through the community. And he said, there was hardly nobody that didn't get saved in that community after that. I want to say to you, God is pleading. He is begging. He's wanting us to reach everybody we can. But somebody can cross the line every now and then. That girl apparently did, and I don't know all the details about it. But he said, where it says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. He said, that was an awful thing. Now, many of us know stories like that. And I've told you a few, my own experiences a time or two. But God says in the New Testament, Galatians, he said, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're in a day and time now to where if mankind has ever tried to slap God in the face, it's now. Did you hear on our radio station today? I believe it was this morning, one of the news spots. Of course, they've been on this gender thing of trying to get everybody to accept this transgender business and what an awful, dirty thing it is. But if you heard the spot on the radio, I believe it was a radio I heard on this morning when I was driving. The new thing now, I can't get the word. Maybe some of you can help me. The new thing, here's what it is. It's not just man marrying a man, a woman a woman, but plurality. Several different couples claiming they're married and living together. Now, that was on the spot on the radio this morning. That's what you're going to hear more and more about. You think they have reached bottom and they find a new bottom. The corruption finds a new bottom. And that sort of thing. And the bigger universities and colleges is a hotbed for this stuff. They're forming communes. A dorm room. Two or three boys, two or three girls living together. Like that. Now that happened some back in the 60s. But here's the difference. And now they're trying to make it acceptable and make you the villain if you don't accept it. That's the most amazing thing that we could have come to that in America. But here we got Mayor Pete or whatever they call him, married to a man running to be president. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But our answer is not let that stuff trip us up. It's not my job, though I'll condemn it, I'll speak against it. It's still the biggest job by God is getting somebody saved. Now, I don't believe you have to compromise on standards and convictions to be a soul winner. I don't think you have to. In fact, I say this. The average lost man knows what it ought to be. He knows if you're compromising too. I had a fellow get saved here in church several years ago. And he called me that night on the phone. And he said, Preacher, I understand. I've got to give up my tobacco. I've got to give up my beer. I said, I didn't say a thing about that this morning. He said, no, you didn't have to. He said, the Lord already told me I'd had to go. I believe that. I believe God does that. I believe he did that with me when I got saved. I really do. I believed all of a sudden, there's a lot of things, I guess all the time maybe I knew they were wrong. But all of a sudden the spotlight's on. And the Holy Spirit is grieving you about this, that, or the other. Here in the Proverbs, it's a book of wisdom. We can walk by it and be blessed. We can reject it and go our own way. That's what it says in verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Now that's sowing and reaping. Eating of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know, folks, much of what negative stuff's happened in my life or yours, if I be totally honest about it, it was a crop that I planted somewhere or another that came up. It was a seed that blossomed, so I can't blame God. I did it. And it's too bad when we do it and realize it. I don't have but about 5 minutes. I'll confess a sin, and then y'all can put it on Facebook and have a lot of fun with it this week. Bunch of junk. But anyway, now I understand it can be used for good. But boy, a lot of garbage goes. A lot of garbage goes. But I was working for a company, and that company allowed you as a worker to have a certain amount of their material for yourself personally every month. Well, I didn't take it. I didn't need it. I'd had probably several months built up, and I didn't really need it. But I came across somebody that did need it, and they couldn't afford it, and I just gave it to them. I remember it so well. I justified myself by saying I didn't steal this product. I just gave it away rather than taking it myself. You can always just kind of twist things around and make you not so bad. And that's what I did that afternoon. I was driving their service truck, and I thought, yeah, that's probably about $15 worth. And I had a right to it the last 3 months and didn't take it. So, I just explained it away. Didn't think I'd stole it. But truth is, there was something deep inside said, no, you did. So I'm driving down the road, 33. The Lees know where I'm talking about, right by where they live, heading to Polk City. About 3 o'clock, 20 minutes to 3 in the afternoon, driving a service truck. And I come into the city limits of Polk City. I had one job to do that day, and then I could turn around and go home after I left that last job. And I'm meditating on that, and I'm driving too fast to come into the city limits of that little old town at about the time school is getting out. Well, I stop at the place I'm supposed to be in. I do my job, and I'm in there about 30 minutes, maybe. And I come back out to my truck. Guess who's waiting on me at the truck? The local city cop. He was nice enough, he didn't go in the store and embarrass me, but he was sitting there waiting to write me a ticket because I had come into town too fast. And I had, I guess. Wasn't thinking about it being almost time for school to be out. And so he wrote me a ticket. Anybody want to guess what the price of the ticket was? $15. Now, that sounds cheap to some of y'all today, but it was big $15 to me then. And I thought, how come it wasn't 10? How come it wasn't 20? It's because I had just given away $15 worth of material. Now, maybe God's never done you that way. But he not only done it to me, he let me know why he was doing it to me. And sometimes we justify things, and yet deep in there, we know better. We know better. And I've told some folks this before. God has always been sort of particular with me. What he might let somebody else get by with, he won't let me get by with. You ever have that feeling? I've heard folks put that into expression too. And I understand what they're saying. I remember a fellow saying, I'm going hunting on Sunday. Hunting season's opening up. And he was a faithful fellow in church. And then he came to me later and he said, God got me. He said, now I know a lot of the other brothers are able to do it and get by with it. He said, I can't do it. He said, I won't ever do it again. I said, well, let me tell you, be thankful God cares for you that much. That he loves you enough to let you know that put your hand where it shouldn't be and he's going to slap it. He's watching you. And I don't know if you have that kind of relationship. I was preaching on a relationship Sunday morning with God, but I've always felt like it was there. And I believe it is. Proverbs will show you how to take the knowledge that you get from God and other places and use it right. And he'll let you know God won't be mocked. And for the fellow that says, all that preaching down there that God's not going to get me, well, sooner or later, you'll have a tight spot. It'll be a disease. It'll be something. It'll be a family member where you will face up to God and you will be sorry that you mocked him at that time. Don't let that happen. Proverbs is a good book for instruction to give us wisdom and help us to focus and keep focused on the main thing, which is reaching souls. Visitation time's tomorrow. If you can go, Saturday bus visitation. Maybe all you need to do is just go across the aisle to the friend you're working with on the job or sitting across at school or something else. And let's remember, God is very pleased for us to reach out to others. I can't go to Washington and solve all the problems. Some of the things I'd do would probably be against the law up there. Everything seems to be. But God's more pleased if I go across the street and reach somebody and tell them about Jesus. Amen. All right, let's stand. Brother Hector, choir practice tonight. Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, you didn't just save us and leave us to figure things out, but you tell us what to do. And you tell us, Father, the consequences of doing right and the consequences of doing wrong. Father, we can gain so much wisdom from Proverbs and your word all through it. Help us, Father, to be willing to do what you want and see what's priority with you. May you bless the choir now as they get ready for Sunday. Bless our invitation times and our special day Sunday, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.